While we all hope for the best in our relationships, sometimes they just don't work out. And then the next dilemma is, how do you explain it to the kids? For couples who have decided separation or divorce is the best option, how to support the family through the change is a challenging but a very important process. Our next guest, Liz Paul, is a psychotherapist and family therapist who helps couples going through this separation and shares her tips for effective co-parenting after the split, and joins us on Talking Relationships tonight. Good evening, Liz.
Oh, good evening, David. How are you?
Good.
Hi there, Liz. Good. It's Melissa here. Hello.
Hi, Melissa. Hi. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you.
Good.
This is a very, very important topic, and I chose you to speak about it tonight because I know that you deal a lot with this being a family therapist.
That's
and you
correct.
Help many couples and families. And so it seems to be a very important subject with the amount of divorce that we do have in society. So my first question in relation to to children, can people who have separated really amicably co-parent?
Oh, great, great question, Melissa. Yes, they can. They can, but it's not easy. And I really do feel they need to have some education around it. So that could be picking up some books and reading or going to see a therapist, but it's hard. There's so much pain going on for them and a lot of fear of what lays ahead. So it's a really big step, and it's probably one of the hardest things people bring into room.
It's a difficult territory to sort of step into, and it really does require a lot on board in terms of how to manage it. And so my question to you tonight is, what tips do you have around managing the children, particularly around, you know, their reactions, custody issues, how you manage sharing time, and explaining that arrangement to the children?
Okay, well, that's a nice long question, but that's fine. If I forget anything, Melissa, just pull me up.
I absolutely will. I'll help you out, Liz.
You'll help me out.
Yeah.
All right, starting with the first thing is even making the decision. You know, it's really hard, and I have couples that come for couples therapy, but generally they know they're splitting up already, you know. So some people come in and they want to really work hard and go forward, but they'll sometimes come in and they'll say to me, we don't know if this is going to work. And part of it is we're going to explore this, but we may find this, we think we're too far gone and that we really want to explore for you. How do we do this in a healthy way with our children, you know? And they, you know, I love, you know, the clients, I really admire them. They come in, they wear their heart on their sleeve. It's really tough for them. And they say, what can we do? So first and foremost is, righto, let's find out firstly whether this is a definite. So we work on that, and then we say things like, all right, you've made it definite. I think going forward, we need to work out what we're going to say to the children and that we're going to say it together, and we have to be on board with that. So where I have a few difficulties is in the point of them trying to work out whether they're going to stay together or not, it gets so acrimonious that one of the two will step in and say, and this has happened, they'll come to me and they'll say, well, we've decided, but he's gone off, and he told my son on the weekend we're not going to live together anymore because mummy doesn't love me anymore and I have to leave the house.
Okay.
Now, you know, that's a no-no.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, he said, well, Liz, you told me I'd have to be really honest. And I said, yeah, I did. I probably didn't give the whole story. Honesty is the first part. The next part is age appropriateness to what your message is. Second part is really, really important. No blame in the explanation.
Okay.
So saying, you know, mummy doesn't love me anymore, I have to get out of the house, is clearly putting blame at mummy's feet or daddy for that point. This is 50-50. There's no, if I sound gender biased or not. But this is what happened. So,
okay, so Liz, it sounds like from what you're saying, it's really important for couples or separating couples to think about how old the children are, and there might be different ways of approaching it if the children are a lot younger. So what would be your recommendations, particularly when younger children are going to be in different homes and there's custody issues and all of those kind of arrangements, and it means that the children have got to get used to a lot in terms of different things, drop-offs and all of that kind of stuff. What do you recommend around that?
Well, you're first and foremost, you're right. If they're really young, we have to keep it really simple, but, you know, an age appropriate, you know. Something along the lines of mum and dad have stopped, you know, living together. We don't feel like a couple anymore, but we still really love you and we'll always be there for you. We're your mum and dad and you're really important to us. It's got nothing to do with you. We're just trying to work through it. But we'll be all right as a family, and we're still a family, but we're just going to live differently, right? And so then it's how do we go about living differently? And generally, and I think at this day and age, a lot of the courts, if the children are safe and they're loved, a lot of the way they like it to go now is 50-50 custodial. That's not always suitable because sometimes people can't do the 50-50, and that's perfectly fine. But if it can, it's great for the kids because it keeps them in communication and close contact with both mum and dad, really important.
I once read something that you wrote, Liz, and it was about the drop-offs. And what I loved that you wrote was it was – never pick up the child on the changeover day. Like, don't pick them up from the other parent. You recommended that drop off is better. Right. So, why do you recommend that?
Well, the thing is, you know, children get really involved in activities, as you know, and this is young children. This is, once again, young children, teenagers. I'll get around to them. Young children get very involved. So they're with dad, say for instance, and pick up side, but they're in a game of Monopoly. And they're really focused on that and they're really enjoying the family time and dad's enjoying it. And he might see the time creeping up and they're going, no, dad, no, dad. And they don't want to finish right on the dot, you know. But, hey, mum's there with the doorbell going and they're crying, but, dad, we want to finish, you know. And then they haven't packed their bag and all this sort of stuff happens. And then mum finds herself dragging, or dad finds herself dragging the kids from what was a beautiful family time.
Mm.
So, and of course, everybody feels bad then. And mum feels bad also being on a doorstep, or dad does, of a house they're not really welcome in sometimes. So the thing is, you know, if you've got them in your custodial time and you've got to have them at school at 9 o'clock, you make sure they're at school at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So by the same token, if it's past that time and mum's supposed to have it or dad's supposed to have children back at 5 o'clock on a Sunday, then it's your responsibility to have that all packed up, the kids hugged and kissed, told their love and dropped off to mum. So mum hasn't had to come in, or dad has not had to come in and feel like they're ripping the kids away from a fun time.
Okay.
So it puts the responsibility, the onus on the parent who's due to pass over.
That's a great suggestion. Great suggestion. So, Liz, how can you make shared decisions with your ex? In my experience, you know, usually if you haven't got along well married, it's amplified when you're separated. So those old issues resurface in the same way that you couldn't communicate before. You still can't communicate any better now. How can you make some shared decisions with your ex that work in a positive, you know, stepping forward for the children, that it's something positive for them?
Yeah. That's absolutely right, Melissa. If it didn't work in the marriage, it's only probably going to be worse once you're separated and in different houses. And I suppose it's a time when you realise you actually have to step up and work harder at it.
Mm.
Always remembering that you are the adult, you know, it is really tough that, you know, you're particularly if it's acrimonious and, you know, you're really finding it hard to be nice to one another, and yet you've got to try to come to an agreement. I suppose what I say to couples is if you can be a little bit flexible, that will help a lot, because, you know, sometimes you're going to have to be. If you hold on to what you think's right 100%, then you're only going to make yourself unhappy and the children unhappy ultimately. What you also need to do is to sort of think, all right, I need to get a little bit more cooperative, or, you know, sort of help each other win sometimes.
Yep.
You're never going to win all the time. If you think you're going to win all the time, you're going to be miserable, your children are going to be miserable, and the whole escalation of the arguments will up. So we have to give in sometimes, you know, and try not to sweat the sore stuff, you know. So he doesn't put the kids into bed at 7 o'clock, but he gets them in by 8.
Yep.
You know, they're going to be really important things you need to talk about down the track once you hit adolescence. So try not to switch more stuff. You know, it might be really important to you, but, you know, think, how important is this going to be 5 years down the track? Different if you let them stay up all night.
Yep, so it's really good to forecast and think about what's happening ahead.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
What you're aiming for there is a win-win, because if it becomes win-lose between you two, the kids usually lose. So
the kids always lose.
Yeah.
Kids always lose. And this is the whole thing. You have to put your emotional your emotional heartache, I suppose, and angst. You have to put the children before that. And often the emotions in a breakup, the emotion you have with that partner is actually quite severe. And so, they trigger all sorts of anger and resentment and bitterness. And it's really hard to think, I've got to put that aside, because ultimately, at the end of the day, my child's psychological well-being has to come first.
Yep.
And, of course, whilst even we can't put that aside, can't come first. So, it's tough. And some people do have to come and sit with therapists like myself. And I talk about simple things like, once you do have your children in different places, it's not a bad thing to have laminated sheets of, what you have to pack in your bag every day for the children. We've got to help them because, they've been dragged from house to house here.
Yeah.
And we've got to have compassion because it's really hard for them,
I always
they're gonna
say,
have to get a shoe.
I always say to people, even as an adult, if we lived in two separate houses, we would find that hard on a 50-50 basis.
It would be difficult.
It would be. So for children, it's... And I think it's important too, Liz, in my experience, is that people know that there is a big difference between doing couple therapy and doing therapy around co-parenting. They are two
absolutely
very, very different things. And it's important for people to know that when they're looking for somebody to help them out, that, a couple therapist is not always the ideal person. You really need to know someone who knows some good mediation skills and things like that
That's
well.
Right. There is a lot of mediation. And that's what I find when people come to me and they've already split and they've got the children. It is about wanting a third party to help them come to that compromise sometimes or, to sort of say, okay, this is all right. We can do it this way. But really, just getting back to a question you asked me a while ago, Melissa, was, sort of things I try to say to people is if we can treat each other with respect, which I know is really hard, it really does make a difference. And with time, it makes a big difference to the children because ultimately, in the day, we're trying to teach them to be respectful. And if they're not watching their parents doing it, it gets really tough. So it's simple minutes.
It's a great
tip.
And
that means... just means make sure you tell your partner or your ex-partner that there is something going on at the school rather than, ha, 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 I doesn't know, I won't tell him, I won't tell her. Keep them in the loop. And the more you keep each other in the loop, the more you are generous to that past person, the better it's going to be for the kids. And you know what? Sometimes when you're really generous, and I know that's tough, it becomes reciprocated. And that's what we're after. We're after reciprocation here. So just sort of try to keep in mind, keeping one another in the loop.
Yeah.
Being flexible about schedules, because things change all the time, and sometimes if you want them an extra hour, asking in advance on the day
Look,
I really want that extra hour. Can I have it? Because there'll become a time when you'll want the extra hour. So let's think about that.
Exactly, Liz. There's some great apps out there nowadays too.
There is.
I think these apps are great that people can use for schedulers and all of that kind of stuff when they're dealing with their children. And that way, even if there's a little thing that's happened that day at school that the other partner should know about, you can use these apps and things. I think one of them called Yammer is a very good one.
Okay.
And they're really, really good for communication, particularly if communication's a problem between the couple.
And generally it is, but that's a great idea, Melissa. I'll make sure I talk about that.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know about that app, so that's a new one for me. So, and that's a really good thing because this is something that happens a lot. I didn't get told and I was left out or he decided to go somewhere for the day and didn't get back 2 hours late and didn't tell me and I turned up and, I got told at the last minute, but I was having people over and I wanted them to meet grandma to see the kids before they went to bed. We have to keep each other in the loop. And the more we do that, the more the children feel safe and secure because they see that you're communicating. They know you're together on these things and so that, you've got each other's back and that they don't feel like they're being shoved in the middle of it. And they don't feel, like it's all too hard. And some kids do. And they're the ones that come in with such sad little faces. And Melissa, I talk a lot about little ones.
Yes.
But why I've got you, what I'd really like to talk about is our adolescents because they really struggle. And what I see is in the 50-50 arrangements, we get into adolescents and a lot of them really don't want to go. And it's not through lack of love. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just got to do with them being adolescent and needing their space and wanting their room and not wanting to be thrown into, wherever it is they're most comfortable. And that often is where they were originally, but not always. But, where I thought it's half is, I had a young boy come in for family therapy a while ago. Well, Mum brought him in, and I said I'd like to do family therapy. And but in the course of it, you know, he was in trouble. He was doing all sorts of, boy behaviours. Yeah. But in the course of it, he was feeling really bad because he wanted to live with Mum, but he felt really resentful because he felt really sad for Dad because Dad was on his own, and he felt that he had to be the one that stayed with Kat.
Sounds like, Liz, it's a great time to have you back on, and we'll talk more about it.
Yeah, okay. We might get you back on to talk about adolescence because, yes, it's totally different ball game.
They don't want to upset either parent,
but, you know, they want their space as well. It's incredible.
Yeah. And it's tough. It's really hard to work with that one, but we have to work with that one.
Yeah. Psychotherapist and family therapist, Liz Paul, thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you, David, and thank you, Melissa.
Thanks, Liz. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.